So let's talk Shawamigan Butternut Mercer 8-man co-op. Head coach Tony Morgan. Morning, coach.
Morning. How are you, Joel?
Good, good. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. You knew that it was a tough task to go up and take on Hurley, which I believe is second-rated in the state.
Ranked second in the state, yep.
In 8-man football. You gave them a good run, 28-20 at the half. It's a good battle. It's a good game.
Yeah, no, definitely cannot fault our kids for the effort and what they put forth. It was a good back and forth game, and it just kind of came down to mistakes and turnovers. We had two turnovers, and they didn't have any turnovers. They put the ball on the ground, but they were able to fall on it, and we put the ball on the ground once, and they got it, and then towards the end, getting a little desperate on throwing the ball, and they were finally able to pick one off, which was probably the first time that really they kind of stopped our passing game. But you know, those two turnovers, and you know, they had a kickoff return for a touchdown. So you know, when you go into a place and you're the underdog, you can't be the team that makes more mistakes. I think we had more penalty yards. So, but the effort was there. We certainly were moving the ball. You know, so not much that I can complain about as a coach after a loss.
Yeah, was it after seeing film of Hurley and stuff? As a coach, were you pleasantly surprised a little bit that you were right there with the number two team in the state? You're right there.
I mean, honestly, that was our thought. We really thought we could be there. I think Steve has mentioned they follow us. We've been following Hurley all year, so mm-hmm. I've gotten to see, you know, five of their games. And don't get me wrong, they certainly do some things very well, and they have one outstanding football player and a good scheme. But I certainly, after watching some of the games that they had, we thought that our style of play, especially on the offensive side, was going to be able to take advantage of some things. I'm going to, you know, tip the hat to them. They had really had some issues on snaps all season long. I believe they had made a change at the center position, and I mean, we're talking, they were putting the ball on the ground 3-4 times a game, and the center on Friday night never put the ball on the ground one time. So that was something that we thought we'd probably get something out of that we didn't. So we really did think that you know, for kind of the first time all year, we kind of had everybody healthy, cleared, you know, able to play. And so it was, you know, our full team, and certainly the way that we played Athens on the Friday before, when we kind of had almost everybody back, we were certainly feeling like, hey, with this group, there's not many teams that we can't go play with.
Yeah, and Hudson Hilger, I think coming into the season, you knew that he'd be able to run the ball. He's a very strong young man. You have to be really happy for him. The way that his passing game has come along, really, really nice.
Well, Hudson can, you know, Hudson's always been able to throw the ball a mile. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we've really worked on this year is getting him to kind of try to check it down a little bit, especially in those scramble situations. You know, one of the heart-to-hearts that we had at the end of last season really was, you know, throwing percentage. You know, even if a guy's wide open, you throw the ball 45 yards down the field. It's high school football. It's Friday night. There's lights in the sky. It's, you know, even that is a, you know, a 50-50 venture at best. Then you add a defender, and those are not high percentage throws. And so he's really kind of worked on, you know, working with receivers. He still will throw the ball down the field, and we've got some really big plays that way. But, you know, his completion percentage is almost doubled this year, and you know, he still knows I'd like him to at times tuck it a little bit, because he is such a talented runner.
Right.
So we always say, you know, the best thing about Hudson, if you're a receiver, is he's always looking downfield, and then you know, and he's gonna get you the ball if he can. You know, the worst thing about Hudson is he's always looking down the field, and sometimes he doesn't
run, gunslinger mentality, go take it.
And but no, I mean, he's obviously put up you know, a number of touchdowns for us. His rating has been, you know, the last few games well over 100. I think really only had one game where he had kind of a subpar rating, and that was when he had a knee injury that was, you know, iffy if he should have been, you know, out there, because he wasn't certainly even able to run at that point. So
yeah, 201 yards passing, 95 yards rushing. Devin Soltis for Hurley, what were the challenges? He had 280 yards rushing, so obviously it's a very fine
big play. I think the one thing that stood out was, you know, we knew he definitely was a great football player. You know, he also had a kickoff return. We knew he was kind of their workhorse. But we were surprised at times, I think, in some speed. I know backside pursuit just didn't take maybe the right angle that we needed to take. And so what could have been, you know, still a big play, 35 yards turns into 66-yard touchdown, 80-yard touchdown, because he just had a little bit of breakaway speed, you know, once he got through the line that I don't think we had seen at all this year.
Yeah, 5'11", 170 so far. That's a decent size for a 5'11 guy, so a little bit of quickness and tough to bring down too, I would guess, right?
Yeah, good hard runner, you know, a good athlete. You know, he caused the fumble on the defensive side. You know, he definitely gave us some fits there, as he's been giving almost everyone that he's played fits. So
yeah, Hurley remained undefeated with a 44-26 win over Shawamigan Butternut Mercer on Friday night. Like we mentioned, Hurley, one of the top teams in the state in division in eight-man football. They fell just under that threshold I would anticipate to be a playoff team, I would guess.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, since they're in that top 10. The Hurley North Stars will play Phillips, and that'll have big conference implications coming up. So we have a couple of games left on the schedule. We got homecoming week this week, the coach's favorite friend. I know it's fun. It's still fun, but still to get the kids to focus is a struggle sometimes.
We started talking about homecoming before the week of Hurley because there can be a lot of distractions. So we certainly want our players to be able to enjoy homecoming. It, you know, usually draws a really big crowd, and that's one of the funnest parts of high school football is to, you know, get the community out there and the school and the pride, and you know the whole concept of homecoming. I love you know, the idea that we're inviting you know, our alumni and community to you know, celebrate, you know, our school and our team and what should be all of our athletics. So you know, but there can be a lot of distractions on things that happen, and so as long as from 3:45 to 6:45 we're focused on football, I can live with the rest.
South Shore will be the opponent coming up on Friday night, and of course I think the goal here with six games up and a 3-3 record is that above 500 to get those final couple games, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah, and setting yourself up for a fun final game with Phillips a week from Saturday. South Shore comes in with not a whole lot of success, but again, we saw this with other teams too. Sometimes you don't know what's going on behind the scenes and what players may have been out and came back. So you just got to go in with that mentality that this is always just going to be a tough one, right?
I mean, high school football can be really hard to figure out. You know, thinking back at some of the teams that we've played, right? You know, Flambeau gave us fits and then, you know, an injury or two, and Rib Lake really took it to them last week. You know, we were able to really execute very well against Athens, and, you know, they gave Hurley all that they could handle, and you know, Steve and the Loggers, you know, that was probably a lot tighter than a lot of people would have thought as well. So it's high school sports. You're dealing with teenage boys. You know, injuries can come into play, distractions, and so you have to be ready to go every week because you just never know.
Well, I always talk about here on the morning show about how football likes to glorify the skill position players, and it's always fun to watch them, but we know where the game is won. It's won on the line. And that offensive line, for Hudson to have that success this year and be able to pass, you must be pretty happy with what they've been able to do this year.
Yeah, early in the year we were not, you know, we were executing some shorter kind of passing combinations that worked, and then we kind of struggled with our pass protection, so it was an area of focus in practice the last few weeks, and you know, we did take a couple sacks last Friday night, but for the most part, you know, there are times that Hudson has, you know, almost too much time to throw, and mm-hmm. probably an old school coach like me is like, well, then just run it. There's not much space, just run the thing. You know, more often than not, though, Hudson still finds someone, and but yeah, you know, Jaden Moto and Greg Morgan and Evan Carlson are our offensive line, and not only on their primary block, you know, setting a pocket, and then if Hudson rolls, but what they're really doing well in pass protection is, you know, guy gets off, if Hudson is dancing around, they're coming, you know, back and setting that secondary block, even a tertiary block, yeah, to make sure that we have that much time. That kind of describes it too. When you got a guy who's blocking, you know, somebody three times,
right.
That's how much time that we're getting,
yeah,
back there.
I think the offensive line, the players fascinate me, and I watched some of the documentaries about what it takes to be an offensive lineman, and the good ones, and how smart they are, and the ability to analyze where the blitz is coming from, and where the quarterback moves to. Defense, there's a talent there, but it's kind of a C-ball, tackle ball a lot of times kind of thing on defense a little bit. But that offensive line, there's a lot going on. The good ones really have to have an idea of what that defense is trying to do.
What they're trying to do, and then to be able to, you know, when it comes to the offensive line, we basically have created a secondary language for them to be able to communicate to one another because,
sure.
you know, it's not just one guy. It's not, hey, this one lineman is very good. It really is a in-unison thing because if one person doesn't go the right way, you know, all of a sudden it can be blown up. And,
yeah.
You know, in pass blocking, especially if you spread them out, it can be a little bit easier to kind of communicate in that. But, you know, when it comes to run blocking and, you know, you're pulling guys, it really can be almost an artful display of, you know, how do you communicate and then execute that block. And, you know, hey, I got this person, but if they move one way, then, you know, how do we switch on the fly? And
right.
so it does take, you know, we've been very blessed that our offensive line has been healthy all year. And so, you know, they just continue to get better and better because they keep getting reps with one another. And that can be the biggest challenge is, you know, you lose someone on that offensive line and then you put someone there who hasn't been. I think for the most part, I would say at least 95% of our snaps has been, you know, Greg Evan and Jaden up there. You know, Sean has gotten in a couple times for really brief periods, but for the most part, I mean, it's probably closer to 98 to 99% of the snaps have been those three guys.
Yeah, so many times the only time we hear about an offensive line is when the coverage, you know, when somebody doesn't get that blitzer from the outside and they got a free run at the quarterback, then we talk about the offensive
or the
line.
Holding calls. Yeah,
we don't talk about it when the quarterback drops back and has 5 seconds to throw and nails a long pass down the field. We talk about the receiver. We talk about the quarterback. We don't ever talk about the offensive line that gave them all the time to throw. It's just not a glamorous thing to talk about, I guess, right?
No, but it is. It's one of the most important things because if your quarterback has no time, if your running back doesn't have a hole, you can have, you know, and so as we talk about with Hurley, you know, their running back is very talented, but clearly they're also blocking well to be able to get him through to then, you know, use his speed and all of that. So blocking is definitely the unsung hero part of any and all football teams out there.
Yep. Friday night, South Shore comes in homecoming, 7 o'clock start. I'm assuming we got the band at halftime, and it's always a fun atmosphere, right?
Yep, and we're going to be doing our parents' night as well, so we figure with as many eyes as we can celebrate our parents and our players. And should be a fun week getting ready for that and looking forward to coming back home cooking this year. You know, we're 3-0 so far at home, and we want to keep that train rolling.
Yeah. All right, Coach. Thank you for coming in. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Coach Tony Morgan, Chewangan Butternut Mercer 8-man co-op team back in action homecoming Friday night right here in Park Falls.